This was in Danish magazine. That's behind a paywall, but it doesn't matter because it's in Danish anyway. A strange choice of graphic there, because, you know, it looks like looks like somebody, like, you know, subscribing to Amaranth or something. But it's actually meant to be a depiction of someone playing a video game in a desert, a sweltering desert, and their computer's melting, you know? So, and you can see Hard Critic. I love it, right? Hard Critic. So I'm gonna tell you what this article's about. The headline is Harsh Criticism of Large Danish Counter-Strike Tournament in Abu Dhabi. And then in quote, it looks suspicious, Amogus. Yes, Amogus, indeed. And what this article is about is pretty much, I'm sure you can guess already, it's about Blast doing a deal with the, you know, Abu Dhabi government, essentially, what they call the, you know, the fucking, like, I don't even know what they call it in Abu Dhabi, actually. It's like the Gaming and Esports Fund or whatever. But it's basically, it operates in a similar way to the Saudi Arabian PIF, the Public Investment Fund, which is essentially, it's money from the state for the explicit purposes of growing what it is it says it's going to grow. So anyway, I'm going to read this to you. This is by Lasse Sandborg. This was written, by the way, this was written at the start of the tournament. Today's the start of the Danish Blast Premier Finals tournament in Abu Dhabi. It's one of the biggest Counter-Strike tournaments in the world, and there's $1 million up for grabs. But the Danish company Blast has been criticised for choosing the Emirate of Abu Dhabi as its destination, not only because of Abu Dhabi's lack of human rights, but also because the Danish government owns 19% of Blast through the growth fund, right? So that's something that not a lot of people have talked about during this time when it's come to all these like deals that are being done. I've mentioned it on a few occasions. Both Astralis and Blast had government money go into them. I mean, essentially Refresh, I should say, had government money go into them. In Denmark, there's a lot of Danish government money goes into a lot of esports and gaming projects. I've talked before, I am by no means an expert on this, but as someone that traveled to Denmark a lot and used to go to all the old school Danish lands and got a lot of Danish friends, and so I grew up with the Danish scene growing up, essentially. Before the government started coming in and putting their money in, it was all done through something called Dansk Metal, which they were one entity that were like putting money into it, and so, you know, you could use the money, for example, to create a gaming house, an esports house, if you could demonstrate that it served some sort of public utility, right? That was like how it all worked. And so it was a way to get government funding coming into esports projects, which in a small market country like Denmark was actually a very good thing, because it was guaranteed revenue in a very uncertain landscape. Remember, I mean, what are we even talking about in Denmark, you know, because it's like, are we at like 6.8 million is their population or something? Now, I don't know why. I know Dansk Metal was a union that started out as a union for metal workers, but apparently they had some like tech offshoots, you know, as well. So you can go look into that. But it was essentially like a labor union that put some money into esports projects. But there were other entities and other government entities, and now you've got ministers, you know, like advocating for the good that these, you know, projects serve, because they create jobs and, you know, they keep the youth out of trouble. You know, we don't want them ending up like what's happening over in Sweden with the, you know, rise of people joining gangs and getting involved in organized crime. So anyway, it goes on to say, this article, while the eyes of the world are on Qatar, meaning for the World Cup that just happened, obviously, if you want to know more about that, you can go and watch my Qatar review. A Danish company is going to hold a big Counter-Strike tournament just across the sandbanks in Abu Dhabi, where many of the same human rights issues haunt. It is illegal to be gay, there is no freedom of speech or for the press, and migrant workers toil under the same kafala system used in Qatar. I believe that is a word that means it's like the caste system or the caste system in India, where people are assigned a sort of societal status that effectively puts them in indentured servitude. I think that's my understanding of it. The tournament is called Blast Premier Finals, and runs from the 14th to 18th of December with a prize pool of over 7 million kroner, bringing together the world's best Counter-Strike teams, including a Danish team of 5 Danish players and 4 Danish players from other teams. The agreement has been made with AB Gaming, owned by the Abu Dhabi government. The tournament's website states that Abu Dhabi is the perfect location, and that Blast is proud of the collaboration. Now, you'll remember, of course, I pointed that out at the time, when Blast used the phrase that Abu Dhabi is the perfect location. It's a particularly insidious phrase. And look, I know people are like, oh, it's pathetic to do these kind of like low-hanging fruit gotchas. But think about what it says when a company says to you, a country that criminalizes homosexuality, persecutes journalists, oppresses political dissidents, doesn't treat women with equal rights and respect. What does that tell you when a company says it's the perfect location for an esports event? It's another reason why I'm so completely done with esports, because we are heading into a territory now where you are going to be expected to deny these fundamental truths. We let China get away with it for years, along with all of the match fixing that is completely systemic to all sports in China, not just esports. You may have seen, for example, the snooker. There's been 10 professional snooker players embroiled in match fixing, including people that have just won, like, I think it was the UK Grand Prix over here, you know. And so we've turned a blind eye to integrity issues in China, and of course we've turned a blind eye to what would be called a genocide if it was happening anywhere else in the world, in the form of the atrocities that have been perpetrated against the Uyghur Muslims. And it, you know, but people have always created the excuse, it's China, they're too big, they wouldn't change anyway, we need the money, we need the business, the Chinese people wouldn't support that if they knew what was going on, and they have a real thirst for Western content, and so if we serve it to them, they will eventually adopt Western values, Western democratic values, and they will overthrow the tyrannical regime. And of course what always ends up happening is it goes the other way, it's actually our values that get diluted to suit China so we can make money. And as I said, when it was just China in esports, people were, shut up, Richard, shut up, it's just China, you know, forget about it, Jake, it's Chinatown. But now we've got Saudi Arabia buying up all the real estate, we've got Qatar poking around the edges, we've got the United Arab Emirates putting money into these things, encouraging esports orgs to relocate to their country and represent them. And so this is a huge, huge issue. And so when you tell me it's perfect, I would say to you it absolutely isn't. You couldn't have a women's competition out there, not without, I mean, certainly not without certain caveats. Gay competitors wouldn't be safe to travel there or to compete there, certainly not with their partners. How on earth can we call it perfect then? So, I know. I think particularly awful wording from Blast on that one. And then to say you're proud of the collaboration, it's sickening. And I'm glad the Danish press are getting a hold of this. Stannis Elsborg of Play the Game, and organized, and by the way, I've talked with Stannis before. Stannis the Manis, he's a guy that's basically focusing on sports washing in the same way that you know, Kareem is, and other people that I'm working alongside now, you know. So he's a good follow on Twitter if you get the chance. Stannis Elsborg of Play the Game, an organization working for more transparency and democracy in sport, wonders about the location. He asked directly whether he thought this esports tournament was sports washing. He said, I'm not much for that word, as I think it's much more than that. The Emirates, or the Emiratis, however you want to say it, is one of the countries that has invested the most money in sport, and it's part of a much more sophisticated strategy than image building. And if you put a tournament in Abu Dhabi, you're automatically part of that project, he says. The company behind the tournament, Danish-owned Blast, was started by Nicola Nyholm, the man behind the successful Counter-Strike team Astralis. Blast's co-owners also include the Growth Fund, meaning the Danish government growth fund, which owns around 19% of the company. In particular, the involvement of state money is one of the things that makes Christian Bigham, chairman of Pan Idriot, I'm not too sure what that is, it's another like group in Denmark makes them criticise the tournament. It's even more problematic when you involve state money in such an event that takes place in a place where all citizens cannot really participate. You're excluded from participating both as an athlete and as a spectator, not because of the event, but because it takes place in a country where it's illegal to be me, for example. Ah, yeah, that's who they are. That's the LGBT Sports Association. I looked that up before, but I said this was back in December, and I never got around to doing the stream then. So you can check that article out, but it's created a bit of an interesting groundswell where now people in Denmark are starting to take a look at Blast's association with the United Arab Emirates government. And it got written about in a few other publications. This is esports.net. Søren Sondergaard, a spokesperson for the Enhedslisten party in Denmark. And correct me if I'm wrong, Danes in the chat. Is Enhedslisten, aren't they your lefties? Aren't they your socialist party, essentially? That's what I thought. So, yeah, the Enhedslisten party in Denmark has indicated that he will bring up concerns regarding Blast association with Abu Dhabi in front of parliament, given Abu Dhabi status as what he calls a dictatorship state. So what we've got now is Blast and their partnership with Abu Dhabi, or rather the United Arab Emirates government, being debated in Danish parliament. Now, listen, I think that's brilliant, I've got to say. We'll go more into this story because I think, if memory serves me correctly, I think in this article, I think Amnesty International, I think the Danish branch of Amnesty International are even quoted. But anyway, I'll just hold the phone on that one. Here's why I think it's brilliant, but also kind of a little bit unfair, because the reality is this. I don't want Blast to be partnered with NEOM, the Saudis and the NEOM project. I don't want them to be partnered with Abu Dhabi. I understand they're not making money. I've said this many times. Blast are the only... They're not even a threat to ESL. They're the only company that's lasted while ESL has endured, served up substandard esports slop to you, the esports fan, desperately looking for a buyer. And they could have had a Chinese buyer. It could even have been Tencent at one point, I heard. But it never happened. Then it was going to be a big Singaporean tech company. And then that never happened. And then it was going to be this. And then it was going to be that. And ultimately, ESL, like a tick... Right, if you know anything about ticks, right, ticks feed once in their lifetime, and a tick can go years without eating. They sit there all shriveled up, disgusting, in a piece of bark, and they wait, and they wait, and they wait, and then something alive and living moves under its path, and they like free fall out of the tree, land on the creature, sink in their proboscis, and they suck the blood out, and they essentially gorge themselves on blood to the point where they're so swollen and disgusting that they die, right? Now that's ESL. ESL hung in the fucking pocket, right, for so long, turning down buyer after buyer after buyer after buyer, surviving. And then when the big money come in, the massive paycheck came in, the absolute disgusting money, the Saudi money, the money you should be saying no to, they fell out of that tree. Proboscis all the way in. Blood swelling. Blah, blah, and they're just sat there, gorged and fat now, thinking about how to spend the cash. And yes, I'm aware that's a gift. So, I get it. If you're Blast, how the fuck... do you look over at that, reconcile the community going, oh, but it's ESL, so what are we going to do, like? What are we going to do, like? We can't do nothing. They're just owned by the Saudis. We just have to tune in and watch every broadcast. They're just sponsored by the fucking United States Air Force. Literal war criminals bombing kids. What can we do, like? We've just got to watch and blindly consume. My favourite player's playing. I've got to watch, like. They think there's no value in the boycott. Meanwhile, Blast are like, okay, fuck it, we'll take some of this NEOM cash here. Let's do a NEOM deal real quick. And everyone goes, no, how dare you? How dare you, Blast? How dare you? Wait, what? What, you going to boycott us? Yeah, how dare you? Aren't you going to boycott ESL? What can we do, like? There's 80% of the calendar. What can we do? What can we do? Fuck you, Blast. So I get it. I get the frustration. But the point is, I don't want either, right? And two wrongs don't make a right. I can't give Blast a pass to take the dirty money just because ESL are taking more of it. You can't do it. So I fully understand their frustration and they must be absolutely livid. But I hope the Danish government fucking scorches them. I hope they say, right, you've got, we own 19% of you and we're gonna prevent you doing this deal. We're going to prevent you ever having another tournament in Abu Dhabi ever again. You're going to have to give the money back. The issue with the association was called out by the Danish broadcast company through a publication, DR, which pointed out that the Danish government has a stake of close to 20% in Blast through a public investment fund called Vækstfonden. This association, it said, amounted to a mingling of taxpayer money with an event that positively impacted Abu Dhabi. It is one thing that private companies invest in Abu Dhabi and similar dictatorship states, but Danish taxpayers must not contribute to that. Therefore, I want to discuss with the minister whether it can really be right that the Growth Fund, which has business ethics and social responsibility explicitly in its objectives, must directly or indirectly contribute to investments in this princely dictatorship. That's Sondergaard is the parliamentarian that said that. So, you know, obviously, taxpayer money, yeah. But governments do spend taxpayer money on shit you don't want all the time. And, yeah, I'm not going to say it. But you sort of know at this point. You know where I'm at. But it's everything. It's not just that. It's the other things too. So, whatever. So, you know, I don't know if that alone gives you a right to sort of push back against it. But we'll see. It says here, has sports washing arrived in esports? The answer to that, of course, is yes. The UAE has been accused of arbitrary arrests, detainee abuse, forcible deportations, curtailing freedom of speech and expression, penalising homosexual people over the years. Revelations about practices like the kafala system, a draconian sponsorship system, regulating the relationship between migrant workers and their local employers, observed in Middle Eastern countries like the United Arab Emirates, have also recently come to light because of the 2022 FIFA World Cup held in Qatar. Many Middle Eastern state funds have made their way into global sports through investments over the last decade, which is widely believed to be the reason Qatar managed to win hosting rights in the first place. That, and of course, all of the out-and-out bribery. This phenomenon of pushing soft power into the field has been defined as sports washing and has been at the heart of many people's concerns. Blast's three-year deal with Abu Dhabi Gaming is only the start for Middle Eastern nations. Saudi Arabia, the largest and most prosperous Middle Eastern country, plans to make itself a global esports hub by 2030. The Saudi Esports Federation has labelled this goal as Vision 2030. The Federation plans on investing $38 million to make this vision a reality. Not much, actually. You could probably keep FaZe's lights on for another year with that. The esports industry is still emerging and needs funding to expand. So, look, like, the whole idea of sports washing is an interesting one to me, because back when it first started, and it was Russia, really, Russia were the original kings of sports washing. People seem to forget this. You know, they, like, Russia is a country where the people are fed propaganda on primetime TV, not dissimilar to North Korea, and certainly now not dissimilar to the United States of America. Oh, that's so controversial, Richard. How dare you say that? Listen, when I see a CNN and an MSNBC broadcast scrambling to tell me how a bird didn't really shit on Joe Biden, I'm sorry, you've hit glorious emperor levels of propaganda. But let's not get into that just yet. Right, let's save that for later. The bottom line is, you know, like, Russia, they feed their people propaganda, they keep them in the dark, they're effectively a police state, their police are highly militarized. Vladimir Putin has an interior ministry of a shadowy cabal of secret police that certainly break people's civil rights and liberties. They have journalists killed, in foreign countries, and no nation is going to ever do anything about it, ever. They're just going to pretend it's not happening, like that poor cunt, what was he called, Victor, please just let go, who fucking died of polonium poisoning over like a 6-week fucking period. You know, it's they put political dissidents in prison, and yet they're allowed, have the Olympics, have a World Cup, have it all, right? And it's interesting because now apparently it's a bridge too far. You know, now Russia bad. But Russia was great back then. It was great when London was saying, please, please, come in, Russian oligarchs. Park your yacht here. Have you met Boris Johnson? So they were the original sports washing. And what they were doing there, what was really going on there is, we give you a big chunk of money and you just shut the fuck up about all the other stuff. That's what sports washing was when it started. But now, it's beyond that. They're not washing the reputations. What they do is, they occupy the cultural capital. Whatever you want, whatever it is that's big for you and important for you, they come in and buy it. And then you can just never object to anything they say or do ever again. You can never publicly speak up about it, or you just disappear. You're not allowed to compete. You know, if you want to compete in like exactly what they did for this Qatar World Cup, prime example. Hey, yep, you can drink beer. Don't worry about it. What, are you sure? I'm pretty sure it says something in that Quran of yours about that. Yeah. Don't worry. All the fans can drink beer. Are you sure? Because we're going to go and sell a $75 million Budweiser sponsorship off that. Yeah. Listen, hey, we're just like you deep down after all, and we're a perfect venue for the World Cup. All right then, yep, I'm just going to sell all that, massive sponsorship, yeah? Change of plan, unlucky fucker. You can't drink out here, of course you can't drink. It's against the law. How dare you? Oh, all right, okay, sorry, yeah, you did bamboozle us a bit with that one, but we can wear them rainbow armbands though, can't we? Nah, that's a forbidden symbol. But the fans can wear them, can't they? No, forbidden symbol. Like, and you, again, everyone says, no, but by coming together, we're going to find a common ground. You can't really find a common ground when basically, like, there's two sides to an argument. One side believes that you can have a discussion about the value, about the issue, about what's right and what's wrong. We'll take on board your points and we'll offer ours, and let's try and find a consensus in the middle of it all. And the other side believes if you violate these rules, you go to hell, and anyone who supports you goes to hell for all eternity. there's no middle ground. You cannot meet in the middle with radical theologians of any religion. So, you know, just dealing with that, right? Anyway, so it's not sports washing. It's we're going to buy the thing you love and then do the things we want. And if you say we can't, we point out it's ours now. Here's where we get, look, this is it, right? Amnesty International, Denmark's press manager. Oh, go on, I'll read this little bit first because this is good. Blast's website says, every person in every corner of the world deserves to watch, play, and love esports in a positive, safe, and sustainable environment. On the one hand, diversity within any industry should be encouraged, but expansion often comes at a price. Wicked. Yeah, we love that diversity and all that, but the problem is, like, you know, obviously you can't have diversity everywhere, can you? Why not? Well, you just can't, can you? Why not? Well, you know, some people don't like it. So, yeah, but what if someone doesn't like it here? Yeah, well, they're bigots and arseholes and they need to be driven out. Yeah, I agree. So are we gonna tell them that? No, we're not. why is that? Oh, they're signing the checks. My bad. You see how ridiculous it is? The thing that I always fucking despise about this is the moral cowardice of, like, we have a fight here where 99.9% of people just agree. You know, like, we just want to support personal freedoms and liberties. We don't want to oppress people. We don't want to hurt people, you know. But then it's like, there's a bunch of people that literally will put you in prison for being gay. Do you want to tell them about why that's bad? Nah, they got too much money. I hate it. I hate that we never fight the battles where they need to get fought. That's the thing that's pissed me off pretty much more than anything these last, like, 5-6 years. It's like there are people who genuinely need your support in these countries and you don't have the balls to go and support them. Meanwhile, you'll spend your time like, oh, a 14-year-old has said something edgy on the internet in America. Let's extrapolate that and fucking pretend there's a big issue while we take money from people, literally putting, you know, Uyghur Muslims in internment camps or homosexuals in prison. Yeah, all right, guys, you win. You're the good guys for sure. Anyway, Amnesty International, their Danish press manager, Malena Håkansson, came out and said, the United Arab Emirates, like other authoritarian regimes in the region, use major sporting events to remove the focus from the serious human rights violations that take place in their country. She also added that the Danish fund should have done their due diligence before accepting this deal. She emphasized that a state financing fund has a heightened responsibility and questioned how Blast plans to deal with this agreement. And then it talks about how Blast have withdrawn from collaborations in the past, like the NEOM deal that we talked about. And it says, with that precedent, neither the fund itself nor Blast can simply let this pass them by. The Blast website speaks of committing to responsible behaviour and actively approaching relevant, significant social, environmental and managerial conditions. The website also speaks of creating an equal playing field in esports for any person, gender, race or background. And as things stand, Blast could be accused of going against these principles. Oh, surely not. By entering into an agreement with Abu Dhabi Gaming. The fund suggested in a written statement to DR that it cannot control individual investment and has only done its part in investing into a Danish company. It did, however, add that it would examine to make sure that the companies in its portfolio would meet the requirements for responsible corporate behaviour and perform adequate clarifications if required. So hopefully this will blow up now into a bigger issue domestically in Denmark, because, you know, if enough people get wind of this, if enough politicians deem it important enough to have a discussion about in Parliament, if enough taxpayers get disgruntled about it, remember, it's a you pay a lot of tax in Denmark, so you might want every penny to sort of be being spent on shit you actually give a fuck about. If a big enough song and dance is made about it, this could have some serious ramifications for Blast. And as I said, it's not that I want Blast to go under or anything, but at the end of the day, we're going to have to just start tearing down large parts of esports and just rebuilding better things in its place. Building businesses that maybe don't make money, or certainly not as much money, but ones that are at least sustainable and ethically sustainable. This is what we have to start doing moving forward, you know? I don't care. I don't care if we never have another CSGO major. I don't care if we never have another big tournament. If we went back to the days of 50 people in a rented barn huddled round the fucking monitor, you know, playing for actual cash out of a pot and trying to stream it on Twitch with a ghetto setup, I'd be more than happy with esports reverting back to that, personally. From there, we would at least know what was genuine, what was real, what was sustainable, what was achievable, and we wouldn't have to make deals with the devil to maintain that ever again. Just to wrap up this little part of the stream, and obviously for the purposes of the YouTube video, it does make me wonder now, in context of the pushback they appear to be getting from certain sections of the press, the fact that their funds have co-mingled with the government and Amnesty International, which, you know, yeah, it's the Danish chapter, but it's still a big deal. It does make me look over at the deal they've done with France, and Macron, who is almost certainly going to speak at the next CSGO major, prepare yourself, because I hate that cunt. I'll say it till the cows come home. What happened during the Yellow Jacket protests is a disgrace. He is a criminal. What the police did to French citizens is an atrocity. If it wasn't a European country that had ties to all the rest of Europe and therefore certain checks and balances, he'd be happy being a tyrant of a banana republic, and he'd be very good at it. I can't stand him. But anyway, get used to him speaking at the CSGO major. You know, they're going to be doing this major in France, and Macron has said, stop me if you've heard this one before, he wants France to become an esports hub and wants France to host all these fantastic events. He said, I don't just want to see us go major. I'd love to get a TI out here. He pretends he knows what that is. So there's all this talk about having this big esports influence. And it does make me wonder if Blast are going to hitch their wagon to that and start doing French events and build some infrastructure over there to do more French events, because a pushback from their native Danes not necessarily approving of what they're doing in terms of their relationships with Abu Dhabi and other things besides. So this is what we've built for ourselves. This is what we turned esports into, guys. Ain't it grand?